19% of Wisconsin's rural roads are in poor condition, putting the state near the top of the list when it comes to the worst states for rural roads. That's according to a new report from a national transportation group, which also finds some trouble with the state's rural bridges as well. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will talk with one of the report's authors about how the roads got to this point, the possible solutions, and the debate over how to fund these infrastructure improvements. And we will welcome your road reports. If you live in rural Wisconsin, how are the roads in your neck of the woods? What do you think can be or should be done to make the roads safer and more friendly to drivers? What questions do you have about the state and the condition of the rural roads in Wisconsin and beyond? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Rocky Moretti, Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Group, or TRIP, which released the report, Rural Connections, Challenges and Opportunities in America's Heartland. Good morning. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, as your report points out, 19% of Wisconsin's rural roads are described as being in poor condition. Let's start by talking about what we mean by poor condition.
But poor condition are roads that typically are you can feel it when you're driving on them. Either they're pretty rough pavement surfaces, you're seeing potholes, there could be some cracking or rutting. These are generally roads that have reached a point where they need to be resurfaced. Sometimes they need to be reconstructed, and that's really critical because every dollar of deferred maintenance is going to cost $4 or $5 down the road. So the further you fall behind, it becomes that much more costly to catch up. And the public obviously wants their transportation system, their roads and bridges maintained in good condition. That becomes a challenge as you fall further behind.
So how do Wisconsin's rural roads compare to the rest of the nation?
Nationally, 15% of rural roads have pavements in poor condition. So Wisconsin ranks 16th nationally. Also, 23% of Wisconsin's rural roads are in mediocre condition. And that's an important figure because that's still the point where you can ideally make those repairs fairly cost effectively. As you start to slip into poor condition, it's going to cost that much more.
Mm-hmm. So, we are number 16. That's near the top of the list. But it almost, from people, the way people report on their roads, it seems like it could be worse. It seems like people think the roads are all bad. 19% is not 50%.
It's about 1 in 5. We also looked at rural bridges in Wisconsin, and 10% of rural bridges in Wisconsin are structurally deficient. That doesn't mean that the bridge is in any danger of collapse, but it means the engineers have recognized that significant repairs are needed. If that's not addressed, then what happens is bridges become restricted to lighter weight vehicles or they're closed. And when that happens, obviously there's significant economic consequences. Or if emergency vehicles can't cross certain bridges, again, then there's a safety challenge. And then finally, we looked at traffic safety in rural Wisconsin, and the traffic fatality rate on Wisconsin's rural non-interstate roads is double that on all other roads. And unfortunately, these are similar rural transportation challenges we're seeing across the country.
Yeah. So how did the roads come to be in such poor condition?
Well, it's really not that complicated. If the transportation agencies that are responsible for them, which are our local and state governments, aren't able to provide the resources to maintain those roads, to resurface them in a timely fashion, and also with bridges to make the ongoing repairs, you're going to start to see the deterioration creep up, and those numbers continue to get worse. And we're seeing that across the country. The positive news is that in some states, they have really stepped forward in the last couple of years with significant boosts in state funding. And so we're starting to see some states really take this issue head on and are starting to make improvements.
Yeah. So deteriorating roads are not a problem that's limited to rural areas, as anyone who has driven down a pothole-strewn city street can attest to. But why might poor roads take a bigger toll on rural residents than urban residents?
Well, as we point out in the report, rural Americans, and certainly it's also true in Wisconsin, are more reliant and typically are traveling even longer distances than their urban counterparts. And as we also point out in the report, that the rural America is really the heart of agriculture, increasingly of energy extraction or renewable energy sources. And so it is truly the heartland in terms of the nation's economy. It's also where there's significant manufacturing. And so, as we point out in the report, this doesn't just impact rural Americans. It really impacts quality of life across the country because it's obviously such a vital part of the nation's economy.
On a national scale, do you see rural roads getting less attention and maintenance than their urban counterparts?
Well, typically, rural roads and bridges are not as heavily traveled as you would expect in terms of on their urban routes. And so at the local level, sometimes they may not have as much funding available. And also what we see is that because typically states don't have adequate resources, they tend to prioritize the most heavily traveled portions of their system. It's not to say that they aren't also addressing rural needs. But unfortunately, it's the secondary roads that oftentimes fall behind as state governments under financial duress start to focus on their most heavily traveled portions of the system.
We are talking with Rocky Moretti, who is Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Group, TRIP, which just released the report, Rural Connections, Challenges and Opportunities in America's Heartland, which looks at the state of rural roads in the nation. In Wisconsin, 19% of Wisconsin's rural roads are in poor condition, which puts the state 16th on the list when it comes to the worst states for rural roads. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question about this report, or if you have an observation to share, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We have full lines, so I'm going to go to the phones. David in Green Bay is with us first. Hi, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. I've worked my entire life in road construction, both in concrete and asphalting, and have involved myself in engineering, understanding what's going on with these roads. Your guest speaker is exactly right about when he said that if you start falling behind, the cost to rebuild or fix roads down the road, it's more costly. And I've always said that maintenance, even on a new road from the first year on, you have to maintain small problems immediately before these problems become bigger. And what I've seen in Wisconsin is that they've let roads just dissipate and become something where it becomes a major project. And if I can just make one point, when they put a new highway in, the transition over an overpass, there's usually a bump and you can feel that going over an overpass. And when a new road is put in, that transition should be very smooth. And if it's not done right from the very beginning, it really causes problems on these overpasses. They have to be rebuilt very prematurely. And what I'm finding is the engineers of the state, the people that are responsible for overseeing that these projects are done right, they're not holding these contractors accountable and making them go back and getting it done right from the beginning.
All right. So is that part of the problem, that the contractors aren't getting it right from the beginning, Rocky?
Well, transportation projects are in terms of the scope of them and the plan of them, typically by state governments, but sometimes local governments, are pretty clear in the expectations. And certainly the contractors are held to those. And so really, it behooves the state to make sure the inspectors are doing their job appropriately as the job's being done. And what we've also seen is there are materials and designs in terms of the thickness of surfaces, what the substructure looks like, that if roads are designed to higher standards, they're going to last longer. And certainly the state does need to make sure that the work is done correctly, and if there's problems, that they're resolved. But generally, states transportation agencies do a good job of designing it and managing it. The real challenge, obviously, is having the adequate funding, so states aren't left essentially triaging their system and deciding, what repairs they can afford.
We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk more about rural roads in Wisconsin and the nation, and we'll get our guests to weigh in on some of the possible solutions here and the debate over how to fund our roads. What do you think? What questions do you have? What's the shape of the roads in your community? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So how would you describe the state of Wisconsin's rural roads? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about a new report from a national transportation group that finds 19% of Wisconsin's rural roads are in poor condition. And we're talking about why that is and what should be done about it and why. And we're welcoming your questions and your observations and your road reports at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Rocky Moretti is Director of Policy and Research at TRIP, the National Transportation Research Group, which just released the report, Rural Connections, Challenges, and Opportunities in America's Heartland. Let's go to Kevin in Crandon next. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Joy. Yes, up here in Crandon, which is up in the Northwoods, rural, we have US 8 and State Highways 32 and 55 going right through Crandon, and those roads are in pretty decent shape. It's the and the county letter roads are mostly in pretty decent shape, but it's the streets in the towns that are in really bad shape. Like up here for us, Rhinelander is the closest bigger town, and you get into the city of Rhinelander, the roads are just rough. Streets are rough.
Right. Thanks very much, Kevin. Well, that actually brings up a good point, Rocky. When we're talking about rural roads, are we talking about the small town, village road or town road? Or are we talking about the U.S. highway going, in a rural area, or the county letter highways, or all of the above?
The data that comes annually from Federal Highway Administration, which is pretty broad, it's really for all roads other than perhaps some of the smallest local roads, but most of the roads, sort of the grid pattern of any rural area would include those roads. And to be honest, typically the local roads are even worse shape. And I think your previous caller, I think, just expressed that. The challenge is that in terms of funding, the federal transportation program, that money goes to the state governments, to some extent to regional governments, and then state funding traditionally takes care of the state-maintained system, but then also some of that funding typically also then is available to local governments. And then finally, local governments, through their tax base, also raise funding. But the state and federal funding is largely based on some type of user fee. Essentially, the people using the system pay for it, but that system, as you can see by the condition of the system, often breaks down, and the challenge becomes when you look into the future, making sure that people's need to have a good transportation system is reflected in the user fees that are collected to have a safe, reliable, well-maintained system.
Yeah, and right off the start, you said that the problem was lack of funding, and that's one of the reasons for the lack of funding is that people are driving more fuel-efficient vehicles. Gas taxes are not going up necessarily in a state like Wisconsin anyway. We stopped the automatic indexing. And so less money is coming into the coffers due to the gas tax or the user fee, right?
That's right. And if you look at those levels of government, in Washington this year, I think there's a recognition that there needs to be a significant boost in infrastructure investment and certainly in transportation investment. And the discussion is recognizing that the source of the Federal Highway Trust Fund, which is largely user fees, is inadequate. And so the one avenue is to look at it as part of an overall tax overhaul. Another would be looking at those user fees within an infrastructure bill, and that's still to be determined. And I think what we've seen this year is a lot of states have come to the conclusion that they can't wait for Washington, and they need to move forward. So we're seeing a number of states this year move forward with significant user fee increases so that the public is going to realize a better transportation system.
Here in Wisconsin, there is an ongoing debate over how to fund the roads, with little or no agreement as to the best way to do that. In fact, there's an impasse right now over how much money should be borrowed to finish some, you know, some road projects that are ongoing right now. And lawmakers have announced that our state budget will not be done by July 1st, which is coming up due to this this impasse over transportation funding. There's been suggestions that we should raise the gas tax, or we should raise user fees, or there's even some talk about putting in some kind of tolling system. Is there one option in particular you would like to see Wisconsin pursue, Rocky?
Well, if you look at a number of states this year, California jumps out, Indiana, Montana, Texas last year, and also Tennessee this year. These states, while certainly many of them also have some level of bonding, but the core of their system is user fees, and I think just it's a fairness issue, and I think the public recognizes the need to have a good transportation system. They clearly want it to be safe. They want it maintained. And also they want it to provide economic development opportunities. And the user fee concept, whether it's through fuel fees, and increasingly we're seeing some also fees on electric vehicles to compensate for the fact that obviously they're not going to be using fuels, but they need to pay for it, and even registration and license fees. And the public has shown a willingness to support a good transportation system through those user fees.
Yeah.
Now, I understand in Wisconsin, from what I heard just on the program and what I've been reading in national reports, haven't been able to move forward with those user fees. And additional borrowing is often a way to keep the system moving forward. But ultimately, obviously, you know, that's going to need to be paid off, and user fees are usually the best way to do it. I think the big danger for Wisconsin right now would be an impasse that would actually sort of essentially drop to a lowest common denominator, which would be a significant cut in the program, which would mean far less funding for a lot of the rural transportation repairs that we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, so why would that be a big deal? So let's say there's a cut in funding because our governor insists that we cannot raise the gas tax. He says he was not elected to raise the gas tax.
What happens when you don't make those repairs? Is, you know, as I pointed out earlier, a dollar of deferred maintenance now is $4 or $5 down the road. And I think the public understands that instinctively. I mean, they know in their own personal lives, if they don't fix something around their house, it's just going to cause further and more expensive problems down the road. So, and then if you look at safety, you know, as I pointed out in Wisconsin, on rural roads, the traffic fatality rate is double what it is elsewhere. In Texas, just several years ago, I think we pointed out in several of our reports, including one we put out in Wisconsin last year, they went 1,000 miles of rural roads, made the very cost-effective repairs, added rumble strips, paved some shoulders, added some turn lanes at busy intersections, very modestly cost improvements, and they're finding, now that program's done, that on those routes, they've seen fatalities drop by 40 per year. So it gives you some sense of the opportunities being missed, and really, you know, that word is almost cavalier when you look at the impact on saving lives that can be had if you're making those improvements.
Many callers, so let's go back to the phones. Charlie in Beaver Dam. Hi, Charlie.
Hello. So I think we should definitely have a gas tax. I mean, that way everyone has to pay, anyone traveling through the state that has to put gas in their vehicle. If we have to, raise everything, the user fees for registration cars, even if it's $5, $5 gas tax. I've been driving 40 years. I think our roads are by far the worst they've ever been. I think everyone should send their bills to have their suspension paid to the governor. That would send a message to him. And though I was talking to one guy who plowed a road from Beaver Dam over to Fox Lake. He could only go 10 miles an hour with the plow. He said it would rip the front end of the truck off if he went any faster.
Thank you, Charlie. I had to laugh a little bit because my husband and I have had various axle and suspension things fixed on our cars over the past couple of years that we've never had to have fixed before. So is that because of the bad roads, Rocky?
Well, certainly, as we pointed out in a report we released last year in Wisconsin, that the cost to the state motorist of an inadequate transportation system is $6 billion a year in Wisconsin. And when you break those numbers down a little bit, $3.2 billion was the cost of driving on rough roads. Unfortunately, we've been talking about rural roads today, but the reality is that the state's urban roads mm-hmm. are in even worse condition. And then the cost of traffic congestion was $1.7 billion a year. And then the economic costs of safety were just over $1 billion a year. And as we all know, the real impact of serious or fatal traffic crashes are not economic, they're personal. So, that $1 billion a year just looks at lost productivity and obviously the true value of traffic fatalities or crashes or major injuries are far, far higher than that. But the point is that when these discussions of whether or not the public's willing to support some additional funding, the reality is, if you don't pay for making those repairs, you're going to pay far more in the cost of not having the repairs made.
Yeah. And is the, Charlie said, raise the gas tax. Is the public support there generally for raising the gas tax if it means better roads?
We've seen that. And what we've also seen is that most states, when ultimately they realize that the level of funding that's required, have found user fees, and sometimes that also can include tolling. Tolling seems to work best on routes where additional capacity or new facilities are being built. That tends to gain stronger public support. But ultimately, the public has shown also at the ballot box that when user fees are raised and they see improvements made, that they're supportive of that.
Kelly on Facebook says, I would rather have nice roads. I don't like going to states with toll roads. I feel sorry for people who live with them, and I see them as a failure of the state to do its duty to residents and guests. More and more states are going to toll roads, Rocky?
Well, I still think that tolling is, if you will, part of the funding arsenal. And so I think the person who emailed in is correct that I think if there's adequate funding made available through user fees, the public is comfortable with that. But oftentimes what's happening is major new pieces of infrastructure are far in excess of what can fit into a state's normal budget. And so it's seen as a way to accelerate it. And so, those are cases that have to be sorted out individually or within a state.
Tim in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I'm traveling down one of those wonderful 70-mile-an-hour roads right now, headed towards an area of the state that is mostly gravel roads. I don't think people understand that there are still, entire townships that are basically all paved with gravel, kind of an oxymoron, paved with gravel. But the road that I'm on right now, less than 15 years old, has buckled at least 3 or 4 times since I can remember, and has already buckled once this year. So maybe the money could be spent better building better roads, using concrete extrusion.
What about what area of the state are you going to that's got a lot of gravel roads, Tim?
I'm on 29 right now, headed towards the Stanley, Owen, Withy kind of in between Wausau and Eau Claire. And as soon as you get off of the highway, unless it's a county road, if it's just a named road, you know, Bill's Road or Stevenson Road, it's going to be most likely gravel.
I don't know enough about this, but Tim points out that there are a lot of gravel roads in that part of the state anyway. I heard that some smaller Wisconsin communities have resorted to reverting some of their paved roads into gravel roads because they have a lack of funds, but that Wisconsin had more paved roads than a lot of states, that we did pave our roads way back when because of our dairy industry and getting dairy trucks from the farm to the dairy plant or whatever. What do you make of, though, this approach of the communities that are reverting to gravel roads because of a lack of funding, Rocky?
Well, obviously it's far from ideal, and it reflects that, and you know, we picked up at this in some other states where in some oftentimes rural communities, you know, they've had no other choice because of a lack of funding. But if you look at the farms and the businesses in those regions, you know, it risks really a downward slope. If you start to not be able to maintain your infrastructure, you start to reduce the productivity of farms and businesses in that region. And conversely, you know, what we've seen, and there was a very good national report from the Transportation Research Board in the last couple of years that basically looked at what's the impact of once you improve accessibility in rural and urban areas. What it showed, not surprisingly, is as you improve the transportation system in an area, it also is reflected in increased business productivity and growth in that area because the businesses recognize now that area has accessibility. You know, and that's another issue we talk about in the report, is that accessibility is a big problem in rural areas. If you don't have reliable access to four-lane highways, then you're constrained in terms of any really ability to obtain any economic growth. And so maintaining the system's critical, making it safe is also critical, but then, you know, the state over a period of time, in fact, we did a report a couple of years ago in Wisconsin looking over the last decade at several projects that expanded capacity largely through rural areas, and clearly it showed that it had positive economic benefits. And so that's why, you know, states like California and Georgia and Indiana have in the last year put in stronger state programs, recognizing that having a good transportation system is absolutely vital for all of the other economic development goals to move forward.
We have just a minute before news. Tim also said just don't use concrete or maybe the materials that he thinks are deteriorating or buckling too soon.
Well, you know, transportation agencies are well aware of the different options and depending on the particular situation and the weather and the wear and tear, you know, they know which products are going to be the most durable and which will be the most cost effective over a period of time. So it's really up to the transportation agencies to design the specifications for the best improvements for that corridor, and then to ensure that the contractors in installing and completing that project go ahead and get it right.
Our guest is Rocky Moretti, Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Group, TRIP, which just released the report Rural Connections, Challenges and Opportunities in America's Heartland. It finds in Wisconsin, the rural roads are in poor condition. 19% are in poor condition, which puts the state 16th on the list when it comes to the worst states for rural roads. We'll continue after this news. This hour, we are talking about roads, our rural roads, and the condition of our rural roads. 19% of Wisconsin's rural roads are in poor condition, according to a new report from a national transportation group, which also finds some trouble with the state's rural bridges as well. We are talking with one of the report's authors about how the roads got to this point and possible solutions, and welcoming your questions and your views and your observations about roads. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Rocky Moretti is Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Group, TRIP, which recently released this report. Back to the phones, and Elaine in Appleton is with us. Hi, Elaine.
Hello. I live in Appleton, and they added $20 onto our registration fee for a license, car license, and that went to fix the roads up in Appleton, and they've been doing a good job. However, the town of Center next to us, they should have received $80,000 back for the state for road repair there, and they got $50,000 back. So they're lacking $30,000 on there.
And you mean the state didn't give them what they were supposed to give them, Elaine?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're going to do. I haven't heard that part.
Yeah. Well, so that some of that is happening, I suppose, because of lack of funds. The towns aren't getting the money from the state that they need, Rocky?
Well, typically, state transportation agencies have part of their their overall budget that is made available to local governments, and sometimes also state transportation agencies will have expertise beyond what a local government could provide. So there's usually a lot of interaction between them. But ultimately, as the previous caller Elaine had mentioned, that you know if some of that funding is cut. It has significant implications. You know, I think here, from what I'm hearing in Wisconsin, if the overall program is cut dramatically, it means a lot of major projects don't move forward. It means a lot of local governments also don't get some of their additional funding. And what happens is a transportation agency, if they're constrained by funding, they have to start making some tough decisions on which projects move forward. And a lot of roads are put off for a few more years, and unfortunately, what we see is those costs increase that dramatically. The other issue is, you know, we're seeing it across the country. In Wisconsin, what we've seen over the last 3 years is vehicle travel's up 7%, and this is consistent with what's playing out across the country. Travel from 2008 to around 2013. Really stayed at pretty much the same level as most states dealt with a lot of economic challenges. But beginning in 2013, what we saw was travel start to increase at a rate of 2-3% in many states. And so certainly that's positive. It reflects economic growth, more activity. It's more tourists traveling across the region and across the state. But it also does mean that you're going to see additional wear and tear on roads and bridges, more people exposed to potential crashes, and also more traffic congestion. So the challenges are increasing as really the nation really gets its economic situation improving.
Yeah, now the city of Appleton isn't a rural road, but some communities are establishing these like wheel taxes or some sort of special assessment to help fix roads. Is that part of the answer, or can rural communities do this as well?
Well, certainly, you know, in terms of their ability to raise fees and you know the abilities of different levels of local government may be different state by state or region mm-hmm. by region. But I think what we've also seen from the public, and while state programs and local programs are so effective, is that the closer that program gets to people, the more what the public has shown is that they're willing to pay additional funding, but they need to have confidence that the additional funding will be used in their communities and they'll see real benefits. And so the issue of accountability is very critical. And so that's why state transportation agencies and also local governments want to be very clear to the public in terms of, you know, here's what's required and here's how you'll benefit.
Let's take another call from Mark in Rockton. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
I'm afraid this is a manufactured crisis. The fix is in. The only experts we hear on this are either funded directly or indirectly by the road builders lobby, and they fund both political parties in the Wisconsin legislature. This is really reflective of a misallocations of funds. We have literally $5 and $10 million projects all over the state, which could affordably be done for half the amount of money. So they're rebuilding major roads. Some of these roads have virtually no traffic on there. The traffic count is very low, and they're literally spending up to $10 million on 5-10 mile stretches of road. And what that's doing is it's starving maintenance. So it's a misallocation. They now are lobbying, like your guest, for us to beg for tax increases. The gas tax and these user fees are about the most regressive taxes we have in our state, because some retired older lady who only drives a little bit and has mass transportation options in a city like Appleton, they're now happy to pay an extra wheel tax. And rural residents, especially farmers who are driving pickup trucks that don't get the best mileage, they have no public transportation options. This is going to be really on their backs if we raise gas taxes, raise these user fees. And there really isn't a good balancing voice. We used to have nonprofits in our state fund something called the New Transportation Alliance. It's very hard to find the funding to have experts to counter this juggernaut.
Well, besides, Mark, do you think that they just need to appropriate funds differently and then everything will be all right? You're saying we don't need to raise taxes anywhere. We just have to distribute the money differently.
Well, there might have to be modest tax raises, but we're talking about positioning for major tax reform that will ante up. Your guest talked about travel being up, road travel by 7%, and wear and tear, and that's true, but it also means that we're burning up a lot more gas. So there might be some tweaks, but they have, Joy, you're a longtime state resident. Just think 5 years down the road. Our roads were excellent in Wisconsin. I travel rural roads all over the Midwest. We had some of the best roads. There was a design to get us to the point where we had this crisis, and we really need better oversight by legislators that are willing to step up and ignore the money that's dangled in front of them.
All right, Mark, I'm going to let Rocky respond to this. Manufactured crisis by people who, I guess, are lobbied or funded by road builders? And what do you make of all this, Rocky?
I mean, obviously, a number of issues were brought up there. I mean, TRIP is an organization. We don't take in any positions. Mm-hmm. We don't tell legislatures what to do or suggest how voters vote on referendums. We think that the people within the state and its elected officials are in the best position to make those decisions. As far as the data or the information in reports, you know, TRIP's role is obviously to promote a safe, well-maintained, efficient transportation system. The way we do that is by providing the latest government data. You know, when we say 10% of the bridges are structurally deficient, that's based on engineers within the state inspecting the bridges, also by monitoring the roads. They come up with the pavement condition data. And in terms of infrastructure investment, you know, it's interesting to note. I remember 20 years ago in Washington, we would see groups from China come over to learn from us how to build a transportation system. They now invest in their infrastructure at rates five times greater than we do here. You know, we're the ones watching how they build infrastructure, and that's, I think, a real challenge. You know, we're falling behind the rest of the world. And I think that's why you're seeing state governments step to the plate, because they recognize how critical these challenges are. And the public has largely been supportive because their elected officials have been approving these increases in funding. And then finally, what we're also seeing is as states have limited funding, they're being very careful in evaluating new projects in terms of, are there cheaper ways to do it? I think they used to be more uniform in following a variety of engineering standards, but I think they came to realize that in many projects, maybe a $10 million project could be scaled back to 5 or 6 and largely achieve the same benefits. So they're feeling those pressures as well. But certainly, I recognize what the previous speaker was saying, which is You know, let's be very careful, you know, how we evaluate this data. And we're certainly conscious as an organization that advocates for a good transportation system to make sure that all of our numbers are factual and easily checked so that they can be verified.
I think we can fit one more call in. Kurt in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning. Yeah, I really appreciate the previous caller, Mark, had to say about, the taxes and the diversity of transportation systems and so forth. My suggestion is that we have gotten into a mentality that you can go back 35-some years to President Reagan, probably, in which government and taxation has been portrayed as evil, at the worst, and unnecessary at best. And we have to work ourselves out of that knee-jerk reaction that any time any governmental unit, state, local, national, wants to do something, the flag goes up by opportunistic politicians like Governor Walker to say, no, this is going to raise your taxes.
And I got to jump in, Kurt. I'm sorry. So Kurt thinks we should pay for paying for our roads. In our final minute, Rocky, since we just have a minute, what do you have a takeaway message, especially for Wisconsin legislators who are hammering out the transportation budget right now?
Well, the quality of a state's transportation system impacts the economic growth of a region, the quality of life of the public in terms of safety, in terms of their costs, and good infrastructure and certainly a good transportation system is really the base on which a state moves forward. And so as the legislature looks into the future and wants Wisconsin to be the state living up to its potential, clearly having a transportation system that serves all Wisconsins is absolutely critical.
Thank you very much for being with us. Rocky Moretti, Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Group, TRIP, which just released the report Rural Connections, Challenges and Opportunities in America's Heartland, which talks about the state of the condition of Wisconsin's rural roads. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.